Okay, good morning to all of you, wherever you might be listening in or watching. Greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And greetings from the rest of the staff here at Durban North Community Church. It's been an incredible week, hasn't it? Things are just changing in our world so fast. It's actually mind-blowing to think where we were 2 weeks ago, where we were a week ago, and where we are now. When a real crisis hits us, there's a clarity of thought that comes into play. We start to see things as they really are. And the many distractions that we have, the things that dull our senses, seem to fade away, and we start to see what's important. And in this state of hyper-awareness, sometimes our true characters and our true natures and the true concerns of our lives come to the fore. In our country right now, the seriousness of the COVID crisis is only really starting to sink in. Lives have been lost, and it seems like many more will be lost going forward. And our nation will be battered and bruised by this experience. But there is this awareness and clarity coming in the face of this deadly crisis. So where we are taking now, we are taking stock of what truly matters. It's our relationships, it's our health, and it is also our hope in God. A couple of weeks ago, I listened in, I was at a pastor's conference, and an older senior minister was addressing us, and he had just found out that he has terminal cancer, and so his life's, he's got between months and perhaps a year or two left to live. And he was just sharing what it's like to be in that kind of space where the reality of the brevity of his life is very clear and obvious, and how he's experiencing God in that place. And his exact words were this: if I peg, I peg. And that's kind of South African translation of what Paul was saying in Philippians 1:21 when he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is even better. That's the clear thinking of a godly person who is facing death head on. We're in a short series leading up to Easter, which is going to be a very different Easter this year for sure. But we're in a series looking at the final words of Jesus Christ from the cross. The Gospels record 7 different things that Jesus says from the cross. So we're going to talk about at least 5 of them. We'll see how we go. Maybe include the other 2 as well. And Jan spoke very powerfully last week about those words of Jesus when he cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I want to touch on actually what were probably the first words chronologically that Jesus spoke from the cross. But I want you to realize as we look at these words, we recognize that Jesus, who is truly God, but is also truly man, spoke in that moment knowing that there was no ways he was coming down from the cross. He was about to face death in a couple of moments. And he spoke with great clarity, and it reveals the state of his own heart. And so we give these words, the last words of Jesus, enormous weight, as we would give huge weight to the final words of anybody important. What were their last dying words? The last dying words of Jesus. We give them massive weight. So let's imagine Jesus now, in his final hour, suspended from the cross by nails in his hands and his feet. The King of all glory, Creator God, in very nature God, is now despised and rejected by his own creation, by his own creatures. And even, again, as we spoke about last week, forsaken by the Father. There can be no greater insult that we could have possibly thrown at Jesus Christ. He was innocent of all charges. He did no wrong. He came to love the lost, but he's hung between 2 common criminals whose sinful natures meant that they did deserve the cross. And what's in Jesus' heart as he speaks his final words? Surely there's wrath. Surely there must be bitterness. Surely he must look down at those who are mocking him and laughing at him and say, who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? Surely he calls down fire from heaven to consume the wicked. No, his first words from the cross are this: Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus practices what he preaches. He's been preaching forgiveness from the beginning, and it was kind of foreign to many of the ears, kind of a strange thing for him to be talking about in an oppressed nation. But from the beginning, from his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaches forgiveness. He says to his followers, or those who would follow him, you need to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He tells them to forgive 70 times 7. He's taught about it, and now he's modeling it and perfecting forgiveness in the most dramatic of ways. Who was he forgiving? Surely those who heard at the foot of the cross were struck by these words. And surely they repented and changed their lives. Nope, that's not what happened at all. Listen to what the passage continues to say. It's directly after Jesus has spoken these words. They cast lots to divide his garments. While the man is on the cross dying, they're gambling for his clothes. The people stood by, watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, so let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. So there's a crowd that's gathered, bloodthirsty vultures, looking to see somebody, naked and hung out for all the world to see. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. The cruelty and the mockery, so unnecessary in this moment. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Even the criminal next to him is taunting him and mocking him. And we know one of the criminals, his life changed from the cross itself. But it wasn't an easy thing for Jesus to forgive them. He looked at this group of thugs and barbarians and murderers. And that's when he speaks out forgiveness. There are three things I just want to pick out of this, these words. Firstly, three things we need to understand about what Jesus is saying. Firstly, Father. He calls his Father. And he calls for a response from his Father. Father, forgive him. Jesus also knows when he speaks this word that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And he knows there is only one way that the Father can forgive, if a spotless lamb is sacrificed on behalf of the guilty. And he would become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is, in essence, what Jesus is calling out for. He's saying, Father, forsake me so that you don't have to forsake them. Father, destroy me, crush me so that they don't have to be destroyed and crushed. Father, forgive them and lay upon me the sin and iniquity of all of them. Father, make me sin. Make me sin that they may not suffer guilt and shame anymore. The words forgive them as well. These words in the original Greek are spoken in what we call the imperfect tense, and it implies an ongoing forgiveness. Jesus is not simply crying out for the forgiveness of those who are at the foot of the cross and those he can see from there. He's crying out for the forgiveness of the generations of wicked humanity that have come before and those many who would come after. He's crying out for us too, knowing that we would sin against God and against one another in the most extraordinary ways. I'll say more about that in a moment. And then thirdly, he says these words, they don't know what they're doing. The masses at the cross were unaware of the significance of their actions that day. The soldiers might have justified it by saying, we're just doing what we were told. The crowds were just having a look. The mockers were just speaking their minds. The religious leaders were just protecting their faith and their heritage. They had no idea the part they were playing in the vilest and darkest day in human history. They were ignorant. But ignorance is not innocence. Despite their ignorance of the significance of their sin, they would still have to answer before the Lord one day. We today are also ignorant people. We don't understand how deeply wicked we are. We're driven by selfish lusts. We can't understand the deep repercussions of our actions. We can't understand that that little white lie, or that thing you got away with, or that secret that you keep so deeply, that they still cost Jesus his life. We don't understand. We don't understand what we're doing. We know not what we do. We are ignorant, but we are not innocent. We still will have to answer before the Lord for every horrendous decision we've ever made, every lie told, every angry word, every selfish action, but for Jesus Christ, who takes our place and says, Father, forgive them. Lay their guilt upon me. Fast forward 20 centuries or so. South Africa, 2020. There is a crisis at hand. And once again, we're starting to see things now with greater clarity. We are aware of what matters now. And now the true character of our nation will be exposed, will be on display. My hope is, of course, like so many of us, that we're going to get through this. We're going to find a way to work together, and there will be a sense of unity. And yes, certainly we are experiencing that to some measure. We're praying for peace, and thank the Lord that there has been peace so far. And our hope is that we'll come out of this better for it. But I also suspect that during this time, as long as it may last, as long as the season of struggle lasts, the rotten core of our nation will also be exposed. The divide between the rich and the poor will once again be highlighted. Our self-centeredness will come to the fore as folks look inwardly to survive, no matter what the cost to anybody else. Others will look to exploit those in need and take advantage of the crisis to line their own pockets. Oh God, forgive us. As we spend time in our isolated homes as well, the cracks in our marriages and our family relationships will also begin to show. Our brokenness will rise to the surface as we struggle with our basic freedom. Our addictions will cry out to be satisfied, our sinful natures screaming for attention. Oh God, forgive us. We as the church, particularly, our opportunities to meet together in the comfort that we do, particularly in this church, has been removed from us. And perhaps we will see with new clarity that it was never about this building anyway, but the great calling of God for us to be His people. It was about telling the world of a good Savior who paid the full price for our sin. But now we have to stay behind doors and hope that that word gets out. The world is in turmoil looking for answers, and we've been sitting on the truth for so long. Lord, forgive us. But take comfort in this. Jesus, from that cross, prayed for us. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive the church. Forgive the people of 20th century, 21st century South Africa. They don't know what they're doing. Church, we need to learn from this. We need to learn from what's been happening around us. We, as South Africans, have for many years been referring to this passage of Scripture. We love to call on it whenever there's a need. From 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. And I'll read from verse 13, God's words to Solomon. He says this, "When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We love all of these, the ideas that we can just turn to God and pray, humble ourselves, come together. And as South Africans, we've been doing this, and we've collected massive numbers of people together to pray for our country, and God has responded. But let's not forget this part, which says we need to turn from our wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven, and before He heals our land, He will do what? Forgive us our sins. You see, church, there is a plague worse than what we're facing now. There is a virus far more deadly than COVID, and it is the virus of sin. And every single person on this planet is infected. and will die and will be answerable to the Lord for this. There is something far more important that we need to get right than just our physical health. Are you right with the Lord? Are you right with Jesus Christ? I don't know how far this video is going to go and who's going to be listening into this and where you're going to be listening to it. But you need to ask yourself this question: am I right with the Lord? Have I accepted the gift of grace that cost Jesus Christ his life? Let's never take for granted, never take lightly what it meant for him to utter those words, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Unless you turn and see him there and you hear those words spoken over your life and accept the gift of grace from Jesus Christ, then you will have to answer one day before the Lord for your ignorance. Lord, I want to pray for everybody hearing this, Lord God. Firstly, I pray for those of us who've been walking in relationship with you for some time. Father, that in this strange space we find ourselves, Father, that we would look at our own hearts, examine our hearts deeply, and recognize the wickedness that is still there. Confess, repent, and make right with you, God. But I pray for those who have not yet recognized their own wickedness, who choose to stand in their own self-righteousness, who don't understand yet how deeply sin has infected their being, that their only hope is in you. By your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict them today and you would bring them to their knees, that they would make right with you. Jesus, thank you that you loved us enough to pronounce forgiveness over us, even from the most horrendous place imaginable. Change our hearts. Help us to snap out of it, to snap out of the rat race and the self-centered lives that we live, and start living lives instead that glorify you and honor you. Folks, if any of you are wanting to know a little bit more about what it means to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, please, there's some information that will come up on the bottom of the screen. You can click on that. You can email us. You can send us a WhatsApp. We'd love to get in contact with you and minister to you and help you in any way that we can to make that connection with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to pronounce the benediction over you and pray that you have a God-filled week nonetheless. So, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.